two questions that I get frequently from people who are new to biohacking or this whole weird and wacky world of cognitive enhancement are, first, which smart drugs actually work and have science behind them? Second question, which nootropic should I get started with? And my answer is usually the same. Piracetam. I'm Jonathan Roseland with Limitless, and here we are going to be breaking down what 600 plus human studies and scientific papers have to say about this enigmatic smart drug. I've been using it myself for over a decade now, on and off. I've used over 200 different smart drugs and nootropics at this point, and piracetam is pretty close to being my own personal NZT-48 from the movie Limitless. This podcast is going to break down a whole lot about it, but if you are going to purchase and use this drug, you're going to want to check out the link below. That's where I've got my full meta-analysis article on it. And that is going to have all the links to all the studies and information that I'm going to share with you here today. Yeah, some of the things I'm going to share with you are going to be a little bit mind-blowing, and you're going to be asking, what's the evidence for that? And I've got all of that good stuff in the article. So if you are going to use this, please do so responsibly and thoroughly educate yourself about it before ingesting it. And through that link, you're going to find my definitive guide, letting you know everything that you need to know. And you are going to want to listen to this one through to completion, as I got a wild admission at the end. What is this? Definitely smart drugs. We'll figure out what this mystery white powder is, okay? Piracetam, the smart drug, the original OG smart drug. And in my opinion, is the best verbal enhancement smart drug and the best smart drug for improving long-term memory recall. And that's what this must be, because this is empty and this is a baggie. So that is going to stack really well with the NuPEPT. And then we have oxiracetam, which would also go really well with the NuPEPT and piracetam. Oxiracetam, I call the discipline molecule because it's real subtle as a stimulant, but when I'm on oxiracetam, I just find myself doing everything that I should be doing and doing, well, almost none of the stupid stuff that I shouldn't be doing. And hey, that's an upgrade in life, isn't it? Before we get into the meta-analysis, something that might surprise you. I actually don't get paid affiliate commissions if you buy piracetam via the credible sources that I identify in the meta-analysis article, at least not currently. And this is because regulation has scared all but a few vendors away from offering piracetam. And a few of them have actually kicked me out of their affiliate programs because the empirically validated benefits of piracetam are so fantastic that it puts upstanding quality vendors in this odd position where if they are even affiliated with someone speaking frankly about piracetam, they expose themselves to crushing regulation, the bureaucratic bullies in big government who ultimately serve big pharma, they will come in and tell them, you're not allowed to talk about the benefits of your product. You better stop selling it right now, or maybe we'll even put you out of business. Yeah, welcome to statist absurdistan. The 4,000 word meta-analysis article is a result of it's about 14 years now of using, researching, self-experimenting, obsessively at times, with the racetams, with this very family of smart drugs. And if it compels you to try paracetam and use it with the protocols that I've developed, and if this really unleashes greatness for you, if it makes you a more dangerous version of yourself, as it has for a lot of other biohackers, you could send me a thank you note. I really appreciate those, and those motivate me to keep working hard. If you're feeling a bit more generous, though, you could support my work for as little as $7 a month on Substack. This keeps me motivated and allows me to invest the serious amount of time that goes into these kinds of pragmatic deep dive research pieces. You could send me a one-time donation of just $7 or sign up for a monthly or yearly membership to get that ongoing sunk cost motivation working for you. Yeah, that's where you really unlock the ROI from the content that you're consuming. And you can find the link to my Substack beneath wherever you're watching or listening to me under the support my work section. Anyways, with that preamble out of the way, although a few insights from my extensive experience are included, this podcast will mostly focus on decoding what the human studies say about paracetam and how this squares up with the anecdotal experiences of the biohacking community. For links to everything that I mention here, all the cofactors, the protocols, and the science backing up what I have to share with you, for all that good stuff, you are going to want to hit the link in the description below wherever you are watching or listening to me. That's where I've got all of that good stuff. And that is also where I maintain the updated version of my meta-analysis article on paracetam, because new science, new findings, new protocols, new cofactors for taking cognitive enhancement to the next level are always coming out. And that article is where I update things. And this video is an updated one from the original video that I did about paracetam many moons ago there in my Airbnb rental in Medellin, Colombia. Hey, this is Jonathan with LimitlessMindset.com, the online destination for acquiring superhuman brain power and hacking your reality. And I decided to update this one because my experience and breadth of knowledge with smart drugs in particular and the racetam family of cognitive enhancers, well, that has deepened quite a bit in the intervening decade, not only from the science that I've read, but the at least dozens of biohackers that I have talked with, that I have coached and worked with, who used paracetam. So let's start by taking a look at the scientific research. it has a significant body of scientific evidence behind it. Over 600 human studies and academic papers have been published on PubMed, with over 10 meta-analysis papers in just the past decade. Piracetam is the godfather of the racetam family of synthetically created smart drugs. They come from laboratories and don't appear in the natural world. There are two reasons why I spend so much time researching, writing about, and personally consuming racetams. First, significant body of research. They have been used in many clinical trials, double-blind placebo-controlled studies, and appear in meta-analysis papers. Research is ongoing as well. At any given time, multiple universities or institutions worldwide are studying racetams. Second, iteration and public demand. The racetams are evolving, with new derivatives of piracetam being developed and experimented with, like NuPEPT and SUNY Theoram. This development is being driven by consumer demand from both the biohacking community, voracious novelty junkies eager to try new smart drugs, and those dealing with cognitive decline who need them to combat aging and maintain their dignity. Next, let's talk about it as a memory enhancer. A significant objective of biohacking is maintaining, training, and upgrading the human memory, which our capacity to live productive, happy lives completely depends upon. In this aim, I believe the commercial popularity of piracetam demonstrates that it is a worthwhile tool. And that's kind of funnily worded, indecisive language to use, isn't it? Well, as one pores over the studies and papers published about this drug, it's clear that scientific research is done primarily for sick people trying to get well, not healthy people trying to get an unfair advantage to kick ass more in life. The ROI for universities and scientific institutions lies in treating age-related diseases, not increasing productivity, which is probably your goal. And as a result, the published literature is littered with inconclusive statements about piracetam's dubious value to healthy people. However, a number of anecdotal experiences speak in grand terms to piracetam's capacity as a transformative memory enhancement tool for otherwise healthy or younger people. It has an uncanny yet frequently reported effect of bringing back once forgotten memories, both good and bad. Yeah, you're in for a trip down memory lane with some surprising findings, perhaps, with this one. One biohacker reported, "I as well find piracetam gives me access to more of my memory. One of its wonderful effects, great for writing a paper or doing any sort of creating or just for a general feeling of intellectual enhancement. Imagine more of your memory stores into conscious awareness. That is an amazing thing. If it brings up bad memories, it just gives one a chance to work through some stuff that is in the background of the mind and affecting one in some way, which is good, enriching, rewarding process to go through." Another self-experimenter agreed, quote, I have also had a flood of memories reintroduced to my consciousness since taking paracetam. The memories are good, neutral, and bad. It's a very strange kind of thing, but it's an interesting experience. I recently had a flood of memories and emotions of a childhood daycare experience. I bet those were bad experiences, just based upon what I know about daycare. On the darker side of the spectrum, a PTSD sufferer reported, when I take paracetam, all the bad memories seem to find their way back into my head, especially at night right before I go to sleep. It's tough to deal with, but the benefits are so good that not taking paracetam is a hard thing to do. Let's get back into the published research data. A noteworthy meta-analysis was published in 2002 that examined data from 19 double-blind placebo-controlled studies involving over 1,400 human participants. To quote the abstract, the results of this analysis provide compelling evidence for the global efficacy of paracetam in a diverse group of older subjects with cognitive impairment. A placebo-controlled human study of dyslexics and non-dyslexics stated, try to say that 10 times fast, dyslexics and non-dyslexics stated, quote, it was found using a double-blind crossover technique that dyslexics significantly increased their verbal learning by 15%. The evidence that paracetam enhances memory capacity in young, healthy individuals, at least from the science, is not as strong. However, a double-blind study of 16 healthy college students found that a daily dose of 1,200 milligrams produced a statistically significant increase in working memory and verbal learning after 2 weeks. Yeah, keep that in mind, 2 weeks. Its memory-increasing effects are attributed to improving the function of the neurotransmitter acetylcholine. There's already so much written about paracetam that I'd like to highlight some interesting findings from more recent studies. So let's talk about improvement of mitochondrial function. According to a 2013 University of Frankfurt paper, paracetam is a sort of mitochondrial hack. In previous studies, we were able to show that paracetam enhanced ATP production, mitochondrial membrane potential, as well as neurite outgrowth in cell and animal models for aging and Alzheimer's disease. To investigate further the effects of paracetam on mitochondrial function, especially mitochondrial fission and fusion events, we decided to assess mitochondrial morphology. So it is a veritable and most meritorious mitochondrial nootropic. Headstrong by Dave Asprey makes the case that optimizing your mitochondria is the ultimate performance-enhancing biohack because your mitochondria are the fundamental energy generation mechanism that underlies everything else. A quote from the book. 4 different well-constructed studies show that paracetam improves mitochondrial function. In fact, I believe this may be one of its most important mechanisms of action, one that is overlooked in most of its descriptions. This is one of the safest pharmaceuticals on the market, and it makes your brain and mitochondria work better. This entire book, he's speaking about Headstrong, was written on higher doses of those 2 substances, piracetam and phenylparacetam, as well as every other supplement in the book. Next, let's talk about stroke recovery. A 2014 University of Munster study stated regarding cognitive recovery after ischemic stroke. A secondary prevention with paracetam leads to significantly better recovery of event-related potential latencies. We'll touch on it again as a cognitive enhancer. An extensive Italian review of paracetam stated, cognition enhancers are drugs able to facilitate attentional abilities and acquisition, storage and retrieval of information. Among other classes of drugs, paracetam-like cognitive enhancers have never reached general acceptance in spite of their excellent tolerability and safety. Well, I am trying to push them towards general acceptance. Next, let's talk about verbal fluency. One of the most noticeable effects of enhanced cognition is verbal fluency. You will become a bit more dangerous with your words. You may find yourself talking your way into and out of more trouble than you do usually. It's commonly reported that while on paracetam, I don't have to reach for my words. They just flow. I don't end up running out of things to say. Might help you in your dating life. People report that their vocabulary improves. And people report that they are less afraid to speak in social settings in front of people. I was on paracetam when I did some recent public speaking. I've got an interesting little factoid, which is that Mnemonocene, the goddess of memory, was the mother of the muses. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? And that's because creativity is downstream from memory. And some of you are thinking, well, I have a crappy memory. That is probably because you are using your memory incorrectly. This probably explains why it's so popular in lifestyle niches where success depends highly upon one's verbal abilities. So salespeople, nightclub promoters, motivational speakers, podcasters, internet personalities, or influencers, to use that odious term that it seems that the youth are now aspiring to as a good career direction. Let's talk about it versus cognitive decline. A German study of 78 elderly subjects stated, the effect of paracetam therapy with different dosages was studied in a double-blind trial against placebo on its effect on psychoorganic syndrome of old age and showed statistically significant differences between paracetam therapy at a dosage of 1,600 milligrams three times per day and a placebo. A comprehensive Belgian paper stated, a meta-analysis has been performed, including 19 double-blind placebo-controlled studies with paracetam in patients with dementia or cognitive impairment. The results of this analysis provide compelling evidence for the global efficacy of paracetam in a diverse group of older subjects with cognitive impairment. A 2002 meta-analysis showed numerous therapeutic benefits to elderly people dealing with geriatric cognitive disorders and dementia. A 1988 study also found it had a measurable anti-aging effect on the brains of aged rats. Paracetam also has an inhibiting effect on the brain damage resulting from alcoholism and hypoxia, just in case you want to, I don't know, smash a bottle of vodka while summiting Mount Everest. Let's talk a little bit more about its effect versus Alzheimer's. To quote the abstract of a double-blind, placebo-controlled French study, 30 human subjects completed the one-year study. Our results support the hypothesis that long-term administration of high doses of piracetam might slow the progression of cognitive deterioration in patients with Alzheimer's. Next, we will get even more nerdy and talk about its mechanism of action. The research supports that piracetam's primary mechanisms are increased blood flow and oxygen consumption in parts of the brain, enhancement of glucose consumption in the brain, maintenance of mitochondrial membrane potential, and there are some other mechanisms proposed in human and animal studies, like an ampicillin effect noted by the Italian study. And the review states, piracetam-like compounds suffer from the lack of a common, generally accepted mechanism of action, a condition which has precluded so far a wide acceptance of these drugs as useful medicines. So it improves communication between the brain's hemispheres and boosts activity in the corpus callosum, and that is the lower part of the brain that facilitates interhemispheric communication between the right and left hemispheres. And I have spoken to more than a few biohackers that told me that their cognition and thinking was more holistic when they were on piracetam. And that is a really good thing because life is complicated and interconnected, and we need to think holistically. Yeah, we need those two parts of the brain talking back and forth at their very best. About its history, it was first created by Belgian scientists back in 1964. Yeah, that was a long time ago. So I'm imagining those Belgians just enjoying some chocolate. That's the Belgian stereotype that I've got. And it is regarded as the original smart drug. And yeah, it's been very popular for a long, long time. Let's talk about piracetam versus depression. This nootropic has been shown to have a positive effect in addressing depression, anxiety, epilepsy, dyslexia, post-stroke, aphasia, schizophrenia, dementia, myoclonus, and cognitive decline following heart and brain surgery. A 2010 study stated that it was better at treating depression than enhancing memory. Quote, it was also effective in the treatment of cognitive disorders of cerebrovascular and traumatic origins. However, its overall effect on lowering depression and anxiety was higher than improving memory. And a senior member on the drugsforum.com noted regarding its antidepressant effect, quote, I definitely did notice that piracetam provided a mood-stabilizing effect and that I would be unusually upbeat despite stress. Negative emotions still occur, but it seems like long-lasting bad moods weren't as common. So, yeah, you could suggest piracetam to... We all know friend, family member, acquaintance that struggles with depression, and piracetam is probably going to outperform the more mainstream solutions to depression. Curing depression, treating depression seems simple. Well, you just get some exercise, you do some meditation, you surround yourself with beauty, you hang out with friends more, and hey, you won't be depressed. Problem solved. But of course, it's a trickier thing to handle than that because the depressed person lacks the motivation to follow those kind of common sense mental health practices. What they need is a shortcut that is going to give them that reserve of motivation that they need to cultivate that ecosystem of positivity, right? And I think paracetam is an excellent option for shortcutting that. Next, let's talk about sourcing paracetam, because at this point, I have probably got you pretty sold on the stuff. Some bad news here. With paracetam, it can be hard to get your hands on the good stuff. Regulation has scared a lot of suppliers away from offering it. And importantly, you want to avoid Chinese-sourced paracetam, as it's often tainted with toxic manufacturing byproducts. You should demand a clean certificate of analysis for any paracetam that you order or consume. And Chinese COAs, they're not hard to spot, are often faked. So look for COAs from accredited American or European labs. You can see here that I prefer powdered paracetam, though. And frankly, it is a much better value powdered, and it dissolves nicely and doesn't taste all that bad. And in my meta-analysis article, I have got my sources linked for the powdered stuff. And again, like I said, paracetam is legal. It is not in the gray zone, but it is there on the border of the gray zone. And so I keep on my website updated links to vendors that are credible. I have a link over to the vendor that I purchased my stuff from, because I demand the best of the best stuff, and I did quite a bit of searching and research to make sure that I had a source for that. It is an American source. But a lot of times these vendors just they get a little bit scared of it. In fact, I've had vendors contact me and tell me that they were kicking me out of their affiliate program for paracetam because I talk frankly about the science and about the anecdotal effects you can expect from paracetam, and they were afraid of regulation. They were afraid of someone pitching the benefits of it as frankly as I do. So yeah, as opposed to mentioning more sources here, I will just direct you over to that link. Although I will mention Cabijo. This is a racetam-rich stack. And as some of you know who have been following me for a while, this is something that I created. This is the red pill formula for biohacking cognitive capital. And I had a big article where I break down exactly what I mean by that. So this is a combination of the highest potency racetams, not just paracetam, and it produces a profoundly enhancing cognitive experience. A number of advanced biohackers tried it and told me it was the best nootropic that they had ever tried. And that's actually kind of what you would expect, because I contend that the racetams are the best smart drugs. They blow everything else out of the water. Cabijo is now exclusively available to clients of our flagship transformational program. That is called Anakinosis. Yeah, you can't just buy Cabijo from me at an e-commerce store. There's a lot more involved with it. Next, I will mention downloadable paracetam. Yeah, this is a thing. You may be interested in taking paracetam as an infuseutical, a non-pharmacological, side effect-free version of the drug that takes advantage of the phenomena of water memory. So the paracetam is imprinted on water via quantum co-location and electromagnetism using this device. Infaceuticals typically have about a third or half the effect of the actual medicine being imprinted. If you're skeptical of this, that's understandable. It's a game-changing application of little-known scientific phenomena, but I'd urge you to evaluate the scientific evidence presented in my Biohacker review that downloadable medicine is no longer science fiction. Let's talk about its drug names. It's sold under a variety of names worldwide, which are really difficult to pronounce. So I'm just going to send you over to the article to check that out. Next important thing to address is paracetam non-responders. A certain percentage of people who try this renowned smart drug get zero results from it. Others will try paracetam and get a nice productivity buzz for a few hours that's comparable to a cup or two of coffee. But when they try to push the dosage up, they get headaches, brain fog, or run into a tolerance curve. To maximize its effect, several high-quality cofactors are needed in your biology alongside paracetam. A choline source and Alcar are favorites among holistic biohackers, but there's a specific protocol to follow with the paracetam dosage and with those cofactors. I call it the paracetam protocol, and I break it down. It's not that complicated, but you are going to want to get that guide. And that's one of the other things that you get via the link below. Next, let's talk about tolerance. One of the reasons paracetam is so popular is that it's a pretty consistent experience. You can take it 7 days a week, and you typically won't run into a tolerance curve, as long as you aren't doing it in extreme dosages. Next, let's talk about something that you might run into on the internet looking up paracetam, a post-paracetam intelligence deficit. So I've perused hundreds of user reports and came across, I'm going to call it a statistically significant number of anecdotal reports of people who use paracetam for a while and they experienced transformative benefits to their verbal intelligence, long-term memory, working memory, mood and mental health, along with energy and motivation. But when they discontinued the use of the paracetam, for some, there was an unmistakable deficit in their cognitive abilities. They were below what their baseline was before using paracetam. This is clearly undesirable. 10 to 15% of these anecdotal reports mention this post-paracetam intelligence deficit. It occurs in a minority of users, and I have got a couple of explanations for this. In many of the cases, the people reporting this used paracetam at excessive dosages for extended periods without breaks or cycling. They had no of the cofactors, choline, Alcar, or potassium. Paracetam does exhaust your acetylcholine system over time, which is why in the paracetam protocol, I recommend supplementing these three cofactors, which nourish the delicate ACH system that paracetam powerfully stimulates. Next, histories of drug abuse and psychological instability seem to be correlated with those who report a deficiency of intelligence when they go off paracetam. Poor self-knowledge or a lack of mindfulness is probably somewhat to blame for some of these cases. People go on paracetam and for several weeks or months feel much better and are more productive. Then they go off it and their new normal subjectively feels worse than their old normal because of the new heights of brain power they reached on paracetam. And there are a few edge cases where it sounds like the biohackers used paracetam responsibly, yet still experienced some post-paracetam intelligence deficit. You might be questioning, so if I've never used paracetam, then I probably shouldn't because it might leave me stupider than I was when I eventually have to go off it. No, the vast majority of paracetam users find it a quintessential smart drug that improves productivity in the short term and memory in the long term. In my case, I've gone on paracetam and off paracetam numerous times over the years. I can say confidently that my smart drug usage has improved my baseline intelligence in every domain, even when I'm off smart drugs. And I wanted to find out if my experience was common. So I actually posted two surveys online to the Nootropica Facebook group and in the Longevity Forum. And the majority of the respondents agreed with this. I'm smarter than I was before I used racetams. Racetams have permanently changed my mind for the better. So what I suggest is that you use paracetam responsibly and that you channel some of that extra brain power it imbues into other activities that exercise your mind, like dual and back brain training, a mindfulness practice, reading deep books, and I have written a couple of books myself, paracetam helped, language learning, or exercise. These things will improve your mind alongside paracetam and will more than make up for any perceived or actual intelligence deficit. If you assume that paracetam is a done-for-you wonder drug for personal development, and you use it alone in extreme dosages, you may end up complaining about an intelligence deficit, like some of those other people. Next, let's talk about something you may be concerned about, addiction or dependence. I've cycled on and off paracetam a number of times, as I said, and it's one of the least addictive things I've ever consumed. However, when you go off of it, there is a noticeable dip as you return to your cognitive baseline. Similar to if you always drink coffee in the mornings and then one morning you don't. I combat this dip with brain training, exercise, meditation, reading, and of course, coffee. Next, experiential. Here's what it feels like. Pleasantly intense focus, but at the same time, an energizing sense of optimism about the work ahead and the challenges presenting themselves. I would dare call it a more tranquilizing alternative to Ritalin and Adderall. I had used these popular ADHD drugs for nearly a decade, and I'm intimately familiar with the cracked out yet productive headspace they put me in. Piracetam produces a similar result as far as productivity and focus, but lacks that standing on the edge of a cliff or subtle paranoia that has been a companion of mine for long, thanks to those amphetamine-driven popular pharmaceuticals. What about verse modafinil? Because modafinil is also very popular, probably more popular. I find the two create a similar productive focused headspace, though piracetam provides more energy and endurance due to increased blood flow. And I also contend that modafinil gives you a psychopath's mind while you're dosed on it, while piracetam does not. Again, it enables more holistic kind of thinking, so perhaps more empathy and compassion. So yeah, please try piracetam if you're thinking about modafinil. I'll tell you about the taste of the powder. In larger doses, it is not great. A friend of mine remarked that it tasted like cocaine mixed with dried paint. But it's surprisingly consumable as far as smart drugs go. It dissolves uniformly in water in a matter of seconds, and then you can just skull it. It's a suspicious-looking white powder that you would want to keep out of the sight of TSA agents, border guards, or highway patrol officers. And I do link in the article to my old school review that I did. If you want to see what I looked like over 10 years ago, you can go and check out that biohacker review. And I don't look that much different. It's a cognitive enhancer featured in fiction. Yeah, I have a chapter entitled Piracetam in my new cyberpunk thriller novel about biohacking called Hourglass, and I will play a snippet of the audiobook.
The Wolverine was smart, but at that moment she had met her match in piracetam, the godfather of all smart drugs. Xavier had always found its effect elegant. About 45 minutes after ingestion, it began working not like a stimulant, but like a soft focus lens being wiped clean. His verbal intelligence subtly sharpened, and words flowed with fluency and rhythm. Long-term memory no longer felt like paging through dusty tomes in a library. It became like a Google search. Crisp, instantaneous, associative. His mind began pulling up distant memories and weaving them into solutions for the present challenge. Piracetam didn't just make him smarter, it made him braver. The kind of brave that feels rational. It opened the mind laterally, favoring broad, intuitive leaps over linear logic. It didn't inject euphoria, but a subtle confidence, an optimism that said, "You've solved harder problems before. This one's already half solved."
Next section is the recommended daily, the dosage. And for this, because dosage is important, I'm going to send you over to the article that, yeah, that's something you're going to want to check out before you use that. And then I have already mentioned a couple of cofactors, and there are more. But when it comes to these cofactors, you want to, again, make sure that you're getting specific types of cofactors and that you're getting very high quality stuff. And that is all research that I've already done, and I've organized the links for it. So you'll want to head over to the article and check out that section. Next, importantly, Let's talk about its side effects, because this is something that people are always very curious about. As soon as you tell friends and family that you are on smart drugs, their paranoia is going to erupt about side effects. The abstracts of large-scale studies on piracetam consistently mention its excellent tolerability and lack of adverse effects. For example, a Belgian 12-week clinical trial of over 900 human subjects administered 24 grams daily, and it found no adverse effects of piracetam or toxicity. Piracetam has no LD50. LD50 is the measure of a given substance that you need to give a rat to kill it. You don't need to give a rat very much caffeine or amphetamines before it will drop dead due to the toxicity of those substances. Whereas in the case of piracetam, the toxicity is so low that they were able to pump the stomachs of rats full, and the rats didn't go to rat heaven. But we do need to talk about piracetam headaches. These are the most common side effects reported. Piracetams can cause headaches when taken in high dosages, since they deplete the essential neurotransmitter acetylcholine, which in the vast majority of the cases can be addressed by lowering the piracetam dosage, increasing your ACH precursor intake, or addressing the aldosterone potentiation issue, which is explained in the piracetam protocol. Other reported side effects are increased libido and hypersexuality, which doesn't sound bad to me. Next, a smart drug for babies? Okay, shocking admission coming. I give piracetam to my 4-month-old son. Yes. No, I don't add a little powder to his bottles of breast milk. I give it to his mother almost every day, sometimes around feeding time, as piracetam crosses into breast milk at levels likely reaching 70 to 90% of maternal plasma concentration. And here's why. My over decade experience with piracetam, not just as a user, but also speaking to numerous biohackers about their experiences with it, has me convinced that its benefits so dramatically outweigh its risk. Also, more importantly than that, there's scientific evidence for the safety of piracetam for children as young as 6 months old. I started him early to give him the edge he'll need in life. And a systematic review covering 5 randomized controlled trials with over 400 children confirmed significant efficacy and no increased adverse effects compared to placebo. Yeah, that's kind of mind-blowing. Such a safe drug that the science is, that scientists are giving it to children. And you can just imagine the lawsuits that would ensue if there was negatives occurring as a result. Me and you need to have a serious talk about the way that you have been objectifying women lately. Yes, I had hoped this would come later, but you have just been using women for their bodies. Most notably, one woman, specifically your mother. Yes, you just see her as like a slab of meat that provides from her bountiful boobies
exactly what you want, and you just demand it voraciously. And are you really seeing her? Are you looking for the deeper parts of her? Or do you just see her as a piece of meat that you can grab and take exactly what you want from her? Is that it? Well, I understand, because you are my son, and that's what I've done in my life. And there's a certain duality that we must reject, that women are either objects, or that women are spiritual beings, a mirror of our own self, reflecting that which we try to ignore deep within ourselves. But that itself is a duality and a simplification that can lead us down the dark side in life. So if you reach out towards womanly curves and you see them only as objects for your own satisfaction, I understand. For that's a path that I am on with you, my boy.
Let's mention conflicts. Crucially, alcohol. This is one smart drug that you don't want to drink on. It increases blood flow to the brain, so you can expect to get drunk a whole lot easier. Once upon a time in a past life, I had 4 strong margaritas on a date while dosed on over 4 grams of paracetam. I got drunk and said something really stupid. Sorry about that, Kendra. And arriving now at our conclusion, paracetam is my first love as a biohacker, and she's rewarded my loyalty. She was the first smart drug that made me say, whoa, I could get myself into or out of some trouble with this flowing in my veins. And I did. Since then, I've done biohacker trials of over 200 nootropics, but I find myself drawn back to paracetam. I've spent 14 years looking for my own personal NZT-48, the fictional drug from the movie Limitless with Bradley Cooper. And while that search remains relentless, paracetam is a key ingredient in my recipe for grandeur. So in the comments below this, or if you want to shoot me a private message, let me know if you've tried paracetam. Or if you do try it, yeah, we'd love to hear your feedback. I'm always curious about the stacking. I'm always curious about what people are combining it with that's producing that whoa kind of effect. I'm Jonathan with Limitless, looking forward to a continued conversation with you.
Born in a Belgian lab, 1964. Not a stimulant rush, not a shortcut score. Cornell, Georgia coined a brand new lane, a drug that helps the brain without frying the brain. Not speed, not hype, not borrowed fire, but learning itself, climbing a little higher. Pleasantly intense focus prevails, verbal intelligence subtly sharpens, and words flow with fluency and rhythm. Long-term memory no longer felt like paging through dusty tomes in a library, but like a Google search, crisp, instantaneous, associative. An energizing sensation of optimums about the work ahead and the challenges presenting themselves. 600 studies, humans in the mix. Memory dyslexia, post-stroke tricks. membranes get fluid, neurons converse. I said totaline rises, signal to verse. Not dopamine spikes or jittery thrills, but smoother cognition and quieter wills. Baseline effects, not a party night glow. You take it for months, then suddenly know that a recall feels easier, concepts align. Abstract thoughts stretch in space and time. Plasticity whispers, synapses adapt. The brain rehearses what it once tapped. Presently intense focus prevails, verbal intelligence subtly sharpens, and words flow with fluency and rhythm. Long-term memory no longer felt like paging through dusty tomes in a library, but like a Google search, crisp, instantaneous, associative. I did, however, notice a few times when I was fired up, getting a little frustrated with people around me who were slower than I was. Safe as they come, no toxicity fear. LD50 so high, it's almost absurdly clear. Water soluble, kidneys safe, fine. Stack it with your line, or cognition declines. Not magic, not instant, not cheat code art. Just sharpening tools you already start. Is it subtle? Yes. Is it boring? Maybe. But boring is what real upgrades pay me. The first nootropic still standing tall. Not flashy, not banned, but outlasting them all. If cognition's a blade, not a fireworks show, Paridian's a stone that taught it to glow. Focus prevails, verbal intelligence subtly sharpens, and words flow with fluency and rhythm. Long-term memory no longer felt like paging through dusty tomes in a library, but like a Google search, crisp, instantaneous, associate. She was the first smart drug that made me say, whoa, I could get myself into all out of some trouble with this flow. Did. The world is dangerous. Shouldn't you be too? So download the most meritorious meta-analysis and grandiloquent guide waiting in the description. Piracetam won't make you reckless, but it might just make you a direly dangerous dude. Or dudette.